There's a form of procrastination that goes completely undetected, and it costs us a tremendous amount of time by the time we add it up at year end. Today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we get into this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, I want to let you know it's brought to you by our virtual sales camp program. We're going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast, but for now, I say we just jump in and get down to business. So there is a form of procrastination that it really adds up by year end. And it robs us of a lot of time and getting things done and productivity because it's really undetectable. So let me tell you why. When we think about procrastination, if we were to play a word association game, if I said to you procrastination, you would start thinking about things like, well, putting things off, well, I'll do it next week, I'll do it next month, can't do it right now, that kind of thing. That's what we think of when we think of procrastination in the traditional sense, right? I think we'd all agree with that. But this form, I refer to it as idealisms. I refer to it as idealisms because what we're doing here is we're putting off taking action for the perfect or the ideal situation, the ideal environment. We are not going to take action unless we have that ideal set of circumstances. So what I want to do is throw a number of scenarios at you. This is going to be a much briefer podcast. I've taken a little break, by the way. The last month, I've been enjoying summer. I've been enjoying family and friends and all kinds of cool stuff. So it is summertime and I want to get back to it if you don't mind. So let me throw it at you. The very first scenario would be perhaps you're not asking for a referral because you're waiting until you have the ideal scenario. Maybe you're I mean, what's the thing that everybody loves to say? Don't ask for a referral until you've earned it. See, forgive me. And by the way, we got to ease back into my cursing because you haven't heard it in a while. So if it offends you, then maybe earmuffs, kids. But here we go. See, I think that whole idea of waiting until you earned it is bullshit. I mean, I really do. Ideally, I will have earned it. But you mean to tell me I've got to wait and hold off with my clients to ask them, somebody who already loves me and I've gotten some results and I've been working with, I have to hold off until I have this ideal set of circumstances where I've truly earned it, whatever that means, by the way. But it's okay for me to cold call a stranger and ask them to meet with me and potentially do business with me? So that, to me, is a bit ridiculous. Now, that doesn't mean that we just go along and we just ask everybody at any hour of the day. I'm just saying that sometimes it's more of a delayed type of thing. It's more of an avoidance type of statement to keep us from the fact that maybe really what it comes down to is that we just feel effing weird asking our client for a referral. Maybe that's the real issue here. It's not a matter of whether or not you've earned it or I've earned it. We're just going to put it off. And we're waiting for this moment where almost like the hand of God comes down from the heavens and says, you, in this luminous, godly voice, whatever the hell it would sound like, it's like, you have earned the referral. And I think God would actually sound like that. He would sound like me, going, God, you have earned the referral. I think he would sound like that. So that, to me, is more of an avoidance type of statement, that we're waiting for the ideal situation, or we're waiting until we've earned it. And be honest with yourself here. If you make statements like that where you're saying to yourself, well, I want to wait until I've earned it. Number one, how do you know when you've earned it? And number two, then do you actually ask for the referral or is there a new excuse? So that's something to think about. Oh, actually, no, we're not done with that one. I'm sorry. I'm going to beat the hell out of that a little more. You know, one of the things that we teach, and we teach it in the sales camp program, by the way, that we're doing right now, is, you know, there are places to ask for referrals from people that aren't your client yet. Like, for example, LinkedIn. I generate every single week a minimum of 1 to 2 referrals from people I've never done business with, just by talking with people, asking them at the end of the conversation, who would be an ideal person that you'd like to meet. I do these calls every week. I do a lot of networking, both online and offline. Is there someone that would be a that would represent a good connection for you, that I come across this type of person, by all means, you want me to play matchmaker? And then the other question I ask, hey, if you don't mind, here's the kind of person that I'm looking for. And then I ask them in a very specific way if they know anyone that might fit that description or whatever. But they're not clients of mine. So I don't wait for that. And then the other thing, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, one of the smartest things I've ever done was when I set the goal as a sales rep to get into the top 20 my first year as a sales rep, I identified people who were getting the results that I wanted. One of them was the sales rep who had been ranked number one, not once, but 2 years in a row. And the thing that was really cool about this guy is that not only did he rank number one, but he put such a distance between him and the person who placed second that it was just, I mean, the guy was a pure rock star. And he did it 2 years in a row. Bought him a beer one time. I talked to him. I asked him, hey, what's the secret here? Is there a secret? What are you doing differently? I want to know. And he told me that one of the things that he did was on every single appointment, he asked for a referral. So, of course, I thought, okay, so every time you go to see a client, he goes, well, that too. He said, but I'm running probably 2 appointments a day, sometimes 3. Every one of those with potential clients, with prospects, I asked them for a referral. And I was just feeling uncomfortable with it. And he said, well, first of all, you need to know, nobody's thrown me out. Nobody's beaten the hell out of me. Nobody's called security on me. The worst they could say is, like, give me a weird look and say, no. Right? I mean, we can handle that in sales, right? I mean, for God's sakes, we have people hanging up on us and being nasty, and we can't handle somebody disapproving of us asking for a referral because we didn't ask at the quote-unquote right time. Now, I've been following his advice for years. And first of all, that advice, by following it, it got me from 60th worldwide out of 350 or 375 sales reps to 12th. And I've been following it ever since for the last 20 years now. I've been doing this. And if I were to, I'm not going to put a dollar amount on it. I'm just going to tell you, it's made a lot of money for me and my family. So it might be something that you might want to try. So anyway, let's go on to another example of these idealisms that we were talking about. Well, how about the scenario where you're not going to prospect until you can set aside an entire day? I really need to do a lot of prospecting. So ideally, I'm going to wait until I can. What I really need to do to get caught up here is to be able to dedicate an entire day. So this idea of being able to find an entire day now becomes the excuse. It becomes the avoidance activity. And what is it that you're avoiding? Oh, I don't know. Picking up a phone, the potential of getting your ass kicked, the potential of hurting our little feelings on the phone. So what? Right? And you'll find with a lot of procrastination that fear is at the center of it. And you hear me using the phrase avoidance activities a lot. We're avoiding something that we're fearful of. And in this case, getting rejected, people being nasty. perhaps you don't have a fear of it. Maybe you just don't like doing it. I mean, seriously, nobody ever talks about that in sales because somehow we're not manly men, right? If we don't do that, we should trade in our manly man card if we don't like cold calling. I will tell you flat out that I'm probably the only sales trainer out there that has the balls to tell you I don't like cold calling. I honestly don't. I do it. I make money from it, not just teaching it, from doing it. I think there's a place in my entire cadence, if you will, for it. But I don't wake up in the morning when I'm supposed to do cold calling and go, oh joy, I get to cold call today. I'm going to be very real and very honest about how I feel about it. But because I'm very real and very honest, I also recognize when I'm embracing an avoidance activity to get away with, like, not dealing with it now. And what's funny about not dealing with it now, think about that phrase, not dealing with it now. It sounds a lot better than saying, I'm not going to do it. But really what happens many times is that we go on not to do it. Because, you see, it's safer to say, you know what, I can't do it today. I really need to block out an entire day today. I need to block out even a half a day to do this. And with my schedule, I just can't do it. Sounds a lot better than saying, I'm afraid of the phone. I effing hate the phone, right? You can't say that in sales circles. So we procrastinate. Now, one little remedy to think about before we go on, and I've talked about it on this podcast, is the Pomodoro technique. And what's really cool about the Pomodoro technique is that you set a timer for, and what's funny about this thing, they always talk about using an egg timer. And I'm thinking nothing screams 1960s and 1970s more than just saying, I need to use an egg timer. I kind of think of Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch using something like that. It just seems asinine that people would be writing about using an egg timer. There's an app on your phone that that you can hit the timer. But anyway, enough of my inner smart ass coming out. But the deal is you're supposed to set it for 25 minutes. Don't ask me why 25 minutes is the magic number, but I will tell you this, that when you set a timer for 25 minutes, and with the rule of thumb here with the Pomodoro technique is that you focus only on that activity. You don't allow inbound calls to come in when you're making outbound calls for 25 whole minutes, by the way. Nobody's going to get pissed off at you for taking a whole 25 minutes to get back to them. You don't check your emails for 25 minutes while you're doing another activity. You don't engage, like look at the pop-ups that may come up. Maybe you have social media ones that pop up or whatever. That's a huge time suck, by the way. So be careful of that and mindful of that. It may seem like 30 seconds or a minute here and there. Add that up at the end of the day and you'll see that you're losing a lot of time. And also, it becomes yet another one of those avoidance activities because quite frankly, I'd rather dick around with a pop-up then make a call and maybe get somebody who's having a bad day and I get to engage in that shit storm that happens. So with the Pomodoro technique, you set the time for 25 minutes and you will find that you will get more done in that 25 minutes because you were focused. And even you'll find your inner competitor comes out because you see that clock ticking away and you're like, oh man, I got to pick up the pace. I want to try to set an appointment during this 25 minutes or I want to try to get this part of the proposal done, whatever it is that I'm doing. But this is a nice cure on the prospecting side, especially. You could use this for anything. But what's really cool about this, it embraces this old saying, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is one bite at a time. Prospecting in a way could be your elephant. It could be something that, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be doing it, but I just never have the time to put a whole day in or even half a day. Okay, then stop thinking that way. Stop thinking that way because what you're doing is a whole lot of nothing that way. You're waiting for the ideal to happen. The ideal never happens in sales. So what we do instead is we say, you know what I can do? Today I can do two of those Pomodoros. I could do a 25-minute Pomodoro in the morning, and then I could also do a 25-minute Pomodoro at 4 p.m. Maybe you're going to switch that to, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to do that every day now. So when you start adding that up and you're doing 25 minutes in the morning and you're doing 25 minutes in the afternoon, well, heck, that's an hour, right? We're close to it. And you do that 5 times a week. Well, now you can start finding that time. I would recommend doing a little bit more than that. But teach their own, right? But still, the idea of you saying, hey, I'm not going to do this until I can block out an entire day or an entire half a day, or I need a few days to be able to do this so I can get my groove back and I can get back to some of this because I'm rusty, and maybe do a little bit of research and read some articles on doing cold calling or whatever. Okay, you could do a little bit of that, but why are we waiting for all those things to happen? So let's go on to item number 3, because I think I beat the hell out of item number 2. The next one is, I'm not going to train until I have the time. I'm here to tell you, you never have the time in sales. Again, that is one of those idealisms that just never comes to pass. So instead, what happens is you end up by not training. You end up by staying at the exact level. And by the way, you've become an old dog in a way. Old dog is not an age thing. It is a mindset thing. You can't be taught a new trick. And it's a very dangerous scenario that you're in, because you're not, once again, you're not saying, I will not learn. You're not saying, I refuse to learn. You're not saying, hey, I know it all. I have it all figured out. You're not saying that. You're saying, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it down the line. But the problem is, down the line never comes to pass, because you're waiting until this moment when you have time. And how has that been working for you? I mean, seriously, those of you who say, I'm going to train, I'm going to hire a coach, I'm going to do it when I have the time. Yeah, how you doing with that? When will you know that? Again, is the hand of God going to come down and tap you on the shoulder and say, just wanted to let you know, you now have the time? It never happens. You have to make the time. The next one, too. This one, I try not to give examples like this too often, because I feel like in doing it, I'm being extremely judgmental. And in a way, I'm talking about a former client, and I don't like to do that. I do think that there's a lesson to be learned here. And one thing I'll say about this, really all of these scenarios, but this one in particular, I've done this thing. So I don't want you to think, again, I'm sitting here all pompous and righteous, like I have it figured out. Many of these things I've been guilty of, but this one I've definitely done. So I had this client a while ago, and it was a former client. We parted ways, and one of the reasons why we parted ways is that we'd have a great session together. And what I was finding was he felt really good during the sessions and then would never do the work that I asked of him. And he was a really big procrastinator. So what happened one time is, you know, I would ask him this one. In fact, let me tell you what the project was. One of the things that he needed to do as an assignment was to post some things up on LinkedIn. And this was his request. He said, hey, I want to get better at LinkedIn. I want to be considered a thought leader. I want to be able to generate some leads. So, okay, if you want those things from LinkedIn, guess what you got to do? You have to put some things out there. You have to develop a little bit of content. So we had some very simple things that I wanted him, or actually a simple thing that I wanted him to create. It was the equivalent of dipping your toe in the water. Me being very generous, I would say that it was something easily could have been completed in 15 minutes. And that was if he was really distracted during those 15 minutes. I think he probably could have done it in 5. But let's say it was a 15-minute activity. Every time I would bring it up, because we had due dates on the assignments and he wouldn't have it, he would always say the same thing to me, that he was waiting. He's putting it off because he wants to develop an arsenal of content first so that he was always consistent and never ending with it. And I said, again, what do you think is easier to do? do an assignment that's going to take you 5 minutes, get it out there, begin, and then guess what? A few days later or a week later or whatever it is, you can spend another 5 minutes and develop more content, or waiting until you have 10 pieces of content that's going to take you hours and hours and hours on top of an overwhelming schedule that this guy had. So he never got it done. Again, idealism, right? Clinging to those idealisms. For him, it was when I have to have an arsenal of content in order to put things out there. So here's something else too that I want you guys to think about. It has a lot to do with setting goals and achieving things in life, is that many times we set these rules for ourselves that we have to do A, B, and C in order to have D. And many times these are our rules. These are self-imposed things. Tony Robbins refers to it as our belief system. And sometimes that belief system is based on things that really aren't based in reality. So again, a form of procrastination, but we're referring to them as idealisms. You have to have the ideal set of circumstances. But what you don't realize, again, there are times, I want to be clear about this, where yes, maybe the just do it thing is not apropos. But I also think that there are times where we get into a whole paralysis by analysis thing. We stall our momentum. But really what we're doing is we're putting off discomfort. We feel uncomfortable with something. I feel uncomfortable creating content. So you know what? Let me just put it off. And well, I'm not really putting it off, because I need to have several pieces of content so I don't look like somebody who's just here and gone and here and gone and inconsistent. You know what? Let me wait to make some cold calls until I can really block out a good amount of time to do it. Well, that's a lot more comfortable again than I'm scared of cold calling. So let's move on before I even beat this one up, even more than the one before that. The next one, this one happens a lot. You're holding off updating your CRM until you can block out a full day. Or, you know what, I'm waiting, and coming up on the summer, I'll hear this a lot of times from reps, waiting for the summer because things slow down and I can update my CRM. It's going to take you the whole summer to do that? And even so, I mean, instead of waiting, I mean, why can't you do a little bit here and there? Use that Pomodoro technique. And again, it is an avoidance technique, and I've been guilty of this one. I hate, with a passion, administrative shit. I hate it. I can't stand it. But I'm not going to wait until summer to do that. I'm not going to wait till I have several days. To me, it's one of those things like that eat that frog type of mission that we have to have. I just got to get it done because there's no ideal time for me to do it. So I'm going to, once again, use the Pomodoro technique, where I'm going to put a little bit of time, 25 minutes on the calendar here and there. So I'm taking little 25-minute bites out of that CRM elephant, if you will. The other thing, now this one is personal, and this will be the last example that I'll give you. I had been putting off taking a vacation because I was, this summer, like within the last few days this happened, and within the last few days that I remedied this, I've been putting off taking some vacation time because I was waiting for a time when I was less busy. And for me, like, you might be thinking, okay, Paul, you've been saying that many times we're avoiding something. What could you possibly be avoiding when it comes to having fun and recharging? And in my case, by the way, the vacation time that I was looking to have, if you've been listening to me for a while, I love to go camping in the summer. So I was putting off taking a camping trip. I was avoiding something there. And I'll give you a second to see if you can come up with what could I have been avoiding there if it's something that makes me feel good and helps me to recharge? What could be something negative that I'm avoiding feeling? Well, it was guilt. I don't want to feel like, all right, here I am dicking around and not working. And meanwhile, I'm a business owner. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if this is a generational thing. I think it is. But I remember growing up in a time And my dad used to say, and remember, so I'm playing Dr. Phil today. I realize it. I'm playing amateur shrink. But I think this is important, and I think it's pretty spot on. So much of our beliefs go back to when we were a little kid, and we were too little to cry bullshit or to say, yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. We really didn't have our own mind back then. We were under the influence of other people. Now, this isn't an excuse. I'm not blaming anybody in this particular instance. I'm certainly not blaming my dad. But a lot of my belief about owning a business came from something he used to say a lot to me. Well, you know, the thing with owning a business, Paul, is that you don't necessarily own it. It owns you. And again, I'm not putting him down. He didn't own a business at that point. So I'm not sure what he was referencing, maybe friends of his and things like that, that he observed. And in many cases, yes, there was a time where businesses more owned you than you owned the business. But things are very different today. I mean, for example, I have conducted business from a beach chair. On my phone, I've had apps to do my banking. I've got my payment app right on my phone. I've got things that I was able to fire out right from templates that are right in my email program. I can do a lot of these things over the phone. There are other resources that I have where I don't have to be, quote unquote, physically present. And I certainly don't need to be in an office and chained to a desk. I could do it from anywhere. The world is truly my office. It could be anywhere. It could be from beach. It could be from the campground in this context. So a lot of my belief system with taking vacations and stuff as a business owner came from stuff I heard a lot as a kid. Plus, again, I don't want to put all the blame there. My belief system that I formed, like, okay, well, you're slacking and you're not working hard and this is a good time right now for you to, a lot of people in the training industry just check out over the summer because training just dies over the summer for a lot of sales trainers. So, and also too, I kind of have felt a little guilt because in a way I've been very blessed the last few years. Because in the very beginning of my business in 2011, we're at it 8 years now, by the way, it was a struggle for me over the summer. I felt like I was getting emotional there, but I promise you I almost choked, not got choked up. But anyway, I remember it just being really dead over the summer for me, but now my business is more mature. I have a lot more things going. Plus, I know that it slows down over the summer. So what I do is I ramp up months before going into the summer. So I generally go into the summer with a much fatter pipeline than other people do because you see, they're starting to slow down. I ramp it up going into the summer. So it's made a difference for me. So maybe I'm thinking, okay, it's you're kind of playing with fate by taking a vacation or whatever it is. But so what did I do? What did I do here? I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to put it off because here's what's going to happen if I keep putting it off. I had been putting it off for about 3 weeks. I wanted to do this earlier in June. And then, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't go now. And maybe when it's like not as busy or whatever. And next thing you know, I was looking at my calendar and it was going to be August. And I know what happens then. If one thing comes up in August and then I don't do it, now I'm starting to get depressed because I'm saying, well, shit, my whole summer just went and I haven't gotten a chance to go camping and I love doing that. And now there we go with the business owning me and I don't want to do that. So what I did was I said, you know what? This is ridiculous. I recognized it for what it was, which was an avoidance activity. I didn't want to feel that way. So last week, I am proud to say, I scheduled a two-night camping trip. And what I did was I did a technique that we've talked about in this podcast before called blending. And blending, see, there's balancing where it's like work and then there's life. Well, blending is when you blend the two together. And again, I want to be clear. It's not the ideal set of circumstances, but in the absence of the ideal, it is a wonderful plan B. So what I did here was I looked at my calendar and I said, okay, I have a few coaching calls that I don't want to postpone. So, but I can do that from the campground. They're early in the morning. I'm going to sit by a campfire, or I'm going to sit out, you know, on a bench somewhere in the park where I go camping, and I'm going to have the world's best office that day. I had a few calls that were hopefully, and they did, lead to closing some business. Again, they don't give a shit where I'm calling from, so long as there's not loud noises and sounds like I'm in a war zone or something and dogs barking and everything. It's nice and quiet where I go. So again, I was able to blend that in. Now, you might be thinking, well, didn't this affect your family? Not at all, because camping, I generally just go, just me, myself, and I. My wife's not into camping. My son is into camping, but it's just with schedules. We'll usually have one trip a year together. And we got that in the bank already, by the way. So that's what I did. So it wasn't affecting anybody. It didn't make it so, well, what was the point of going away? You're working all the time? No. It was a few hours on last Monday. Not a few hours. It was about an hour. I did that with the Bluetooth headset on my way out to the campground, right? Nice way to blend. And I had a few hours on Tuesday morning with coaching calls and business calls. So it was probably, I mean, if we add it all up, maybe about 5 hours out of my life. But I had such an amazing time. And by the way, I was telling my son about this whole idea of blending and sometimes we put things off. We had already gotten our camping trip in the bank. And I was talking to him about this. And he said, you know what, come to think of it, I can't come out there and stay over and camp with you. But I can definitely come out for a few hours from like dinner time until 10:30 at night. And then I'll head back home. It's about 45-minute ride back home. And then still be able to get up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for work the next day. So again, he did a little bit of blending, or maybe in that case, not true blending. It was more of a compromise where we're saying, hey, we're waiting for the ideal. The ideal many times doesn't come. So instead of that, well, what's the plan B? Well, wait, I'll come out after work. I won't stay the night, and I'll leave in the morning. So anyway, that's just an awful lot of rambling that I just did there. But the point is that a form of procrastination is this idea of idealisms, where we're waiting for the perfect situation, scenario, or environment in order to take action. So I have a few questions for you that I want to leave you with. Number one, well, what are your idealisms? Do you have them? Number two, what is it costing you? What is it costing you? I mean, do you think this costs you anything? And just to give you a guideline, I came across a report a few years ago. And you may sit here in disbelief, but I think it still adds up. But according to a report that was released by YouGov, the organization is called YouGov, we lose 55 days a year to procrastination. We lose 55 days per year to procrastination. Now, let's be brutally honest. What if they're completely full of shit? And what if they really padded it, right? I don't think they are. I think it would be pretty ballsy if they were. But let's just say that they padded those numbers. Or maybe they told the truth, but when you really take a look at how much you've been losing to procrastination, it's way lighter for you. So what if you're only losing 10 to 15 days a year? My question to you is, if you were to liberate those 10 to 15 days back, and if you were to put those 10 to 15 days into what I call the three drivers of sales success, which is either doing activities that's going to get you an account, retain an account, or grow an account, do you think that could make a difference for you, having 10 to 15 more days to either spend going after an account, growing or actually retaining an account and growing an account? Could that make a difference for you? I mean, many times people are really casual about hearing something like, yeah, maybe you could or whatever. But what if I asked you the same question at the end of a quarter? Do you think at the end of a quarter you'd like to have 10 to 15 more days? What about year end? How about then? Would you like to have 10 to 15 more days when you're fighting for every single scrap that you could possibly get? What about if you were in the process of desperately trying to qualify for a bonus or a President's Club, would you gladly accept 10 to 15 days? If I were to give you 10 to 15 days, would you say, Castain, you obviously need it more than me. Why don't you keep those 10 to 15 effing days? If your boss came over to you and said, here is a bonus check for 10 to 15 days of your time. Here's a bonus check. Thank you for all the cool shit you're doing. Would you slide it back across the table and say, you cheap bastard, you keep it. You know, you can't spare it. Hey, you'd run the hell out of there and cash it before he or she changed their mind. So I want you to think about all that. And before we leave, I did say that this episode of the Sales Playbook podcast, as opposed to podcast, by the way, has been brought to you by our virtual sales camp program, which sadly is about to end. This whole thing with this, we've been talking about it since May, and I realize we haven't been talking about it much here because I've only had one podcast in the last month, so it's not like you've been hearing about it here. But this is a really cool downloadable program, and there's over 75 sales tips and tactics. All of them are actionable. You'll find with my programs, I don't get into a lot of philosophical stuff and theory and all that. I get into things like, do these three things, or here are four ways you could write a better email, that kind of stuff. We also have 50 cold email templates. And there's a ton of bonuses, like 100 sales questions that you should be asking in your appointments. A really cool PDF for that. I have a whole resource page that comes with this program. And the best part of it is that you don't have to be in a classroom at a certain time. You don't have to travel anywhere, especially in the summer. The airports are all busy. It's hot as hell. Kids screaming. You know how it is. So you can seriously go through this program and use that blending technique that we talked about. You can be out on your patio. You can attend from your favorite chair. Because again, it's all downloadable and then you go at your own pace. But here's the bad news. The bad news is that today is July 21st. And registration for this ends on July 23rd. So if you do not download this by July 23rd, that's it until next year. And what I've been doing, it's not the same program every year. So if you want this program, you're going to need to do it in the next 2 days by July 23rd. Otherwise, yes, I'll be back next year with a sales camp program, but it'll be different. But one final reminder before I give you the link, I just want to remind you guys that at the beginning of this year, I mentioned that we're going to be doing a lot less programs. In the past, I did a new program every 2 weeks. If you've noticed, if you've been following me, I've been true to my word. We stopped all that, not doing it every 2 weeks. I had mentioned that I would be doing about 4 programs this year. This will be the third program. There might be one more program that you guys can count on in the fall. And, you know, hey, look, maybe I'll do 2 more programs. But if you like the content and you want to get in on our premium content, now is definitely going to be the time. So if you'd like to learn more, why don't you at least go check out the link. Visit yoursalesplaybook.com/summercamp19. yoursalesplaybook.com/summercamp19, all one word, all lowercase letters. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.